Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Richie Neal, I know of great concern to you is the state of education, higher education, community colleges, state colleges. I wanted to ask you about the student loan rates. I know that you are very concerned about that. We came up with some kind of a solution. Where are we?
Well, the solution we came up with was really tentative, and it was enough, I think, to get us to the next stage of crisis. But it's not the long-term solution that we need. The example that comes to mind immediately is obviously the tuition costs of American colleges. It has now become, in terms of students repaying their loans, a major drag on the American economy. It's estimated that because students are so engulfed by this debt that it shaves 1 to 2 points off of gross domestic product, because that's not money that they are able to spend on other items that would be necessary. Many of them have moved back home to their parents' residence. The ability to move from to a new job to another part of the country is hampered by the fact that they're caught up in these student loans, meaning there's less risk-taking, there's less entrepreneurship. So it's a morass that the American family is trying very hard to grapple with. I'm on the Board of Trustees at Mount Holyoke College, which is a great honor, and tuition has been frozen for 2 years.
Yeah.
But even acknowledging that, you can see that at some of the pricier universities and colleges in America, that people are being asked to lay out over the course of 4 years $200,000, and trying to figure out how a student who in some instances is coming out, I think, on average with about $28,000 of debt, is able to consider a job and a house and a car and all of those things that we take for granted is perplexing.
To me, it occurs to me, maybe I'm wrong, that it's the sort of new segregation in a way. You get people who go to elite colleges, they can afford $60,000 a year in some cases. That's just unbelievable. But we know who can't afford that kind of money. And I know that there are scholarships and that some people qualify for them. But in the end, we are really separating people out, aren't we?
Oh, I think you're absolutely on target. And I think that you run the risk, even as many of the Ivy League schools and others, the elite institutions, have attempted more vigorous recruitment. There is a very stubborn issue, and that's what to do with individuals who economically are unable to attend those universities and colleges. I will say, in defense of the state of Massachusetts, we do a terrific job. I've been a longtime lecturer at the University of Massachusetts, and I think that at the community college level and the state college level, I know that people would object to the tuition increases that have been proposed there over the years, but not to miss the point, the community college system in Massachusetts is still a pretty good deal. And I think that these colleges provide individuals with opportunities through securing credentials and credits that once they have the associate's degree, they can move on to or away from the terminal degree onto a four-year institution and not hold the same element of debt that many others hold. But this has really had a paralyzing effect on the American economy, because you're finding, even with some of the statistical data, you're finding that it's taking longer to complete community college. It's taking a bit longer to complete other college courses because students find after a year or so they have to go back to work to pay for the next round.
I was just going to say, as a longtime state university teacher myself, the idea that you raise tuition not to $60,000 but by $500,
yep,
that disqualifies some people.
It really does, and I think that even though there's an abundance of aid, many of us have always been suspicious that the more aid, the higher the cost of what universities and colleges do at the upper end. And I think that parents are frequently obsessed with the address of that university or college, and they want their children, for good reason, to go to the best possible college that they can, but not to miss the point that one can receive an adequate education if it's carefully thought out at, I think, UMass, incidentally, is an extraordinary institution. And we are blessed in the state of Massachusetts. We have terrific state colleges and community colleges.
Indeed we do. The early campaign is on for governor of Massachusetts. You're a political observer of the first order. What do you make of it?
Well, I think on the Republican side, the Republicans are going to coalesce around Charlie Baker. I don't think there's much question about that. I would be doubtful that he'd even have a primary opponent. And then at the same time, it's a bit more fluid on the Democratic side, obviously. You have a number of candidates who have been out there for a long time, and many of them actually have been to the VFW halls and the sheriff's picnics and the PTA meetings. And so I'm getting to know them by bumping into them at some of these events. And some of them I've known for a very, very long period of time. I think there's a lot of quality on the Democratic side. And I think as the process winnows out, that we're probably going to have a very vigorous primary season. And I think not to miss the point that Republican candidates during my lifetime have frequently benefited from the fact that they tend to be standing alone where there's always a difficult primary on the Democratic side, which makes it harder for the Democrat in the end. Considering the reality that I'm about to point out, for all the talk about Massachusetts being such a blue state, the truth is that we've had a long history of Republican governors, and largely that's because Democratic candidates have had such an ugly battle during the primary season that it's been hard to convince that suburban independent who now determines the outcome of gubernatorial elections in the state, and whether it was Salucci, Weld, or all the way back to my youth, Frank Sargent and John Volpe, it was the independent who decided these elections. And Deval Patrick, to his credit, was able to figure out how to secure independent voters and hold on to the Democratic base. That, in the end, is the trick.
Here's a bad question for you that I'll get into trouble for, but why not? And that is, in New York City, Mayor Bloomberg has just called out one of the candidates for mayor of New York because he showed his son, who wears an afro, and said it's a racist campaign, says Bloomberg, got thoroughly beaten up for doing it. But how much of our politics in Massachusetts is tribal, the Italians, the Jews, the this, the that? Does that stuff count?
I don't think it counts to the extent that it once did. And I also think that one of the things that has replaced the tribal nature of Massachusetts politics has been the issue of biography. Mm-hmm. And clearly the Democratic Party embraces more identity politics than they did when I was starting out. But there's certainly a larger field of opportunity to choose from today.
I don't know what that means. Can you help me with that, Richie? You say clearly identity politics. What does that mean?
Well, I think people run on their biography. One of the things that you're alerted to when to a consultant, for example, is you're supposed to point out the hardscrabble life that one has had. Uh-huh. And that somehow is something that the public can identify with, the daily struggle of regular people. I mean, not to miss the point that when Mitt Romney was describing the automobile industry in Michigan, even though he had opposed the bailout, one of the things that he said, if you recall, was that he loved American cars because his wife, Ann, had a couple of Cadillacs. that's my point about, I mean, that I think that that's the difficulty you have in the modern vernacular of American politics. And I think that President Obama was able to use his biography, and it was very hard for Mitt Romney to use his biography, given the fact that people thought that he started out on third base. So the descriptions you use of your own struggle become very important. I mean, we knew very early on about Bill Clinton's struggle in a single-parent household. We knew very early on about Barack Obama's struggle. And it's very much a part of the modern discourse of politics. And not to miss the point that in that instance, you're regularly advised to talk about your own history.
We always love talking to Congressman Richie Neal from the Massachusetts 1st District. Richie, again, I want to thank you for taking the time to talk to us. I know how busy you are, and we all appreciate it, especially those in Western Massachusetts. Thank you so much for doing it.
Happy to do it, Alan, and great to be with you.